You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
So the nation of Portugal gets downgraded. World markets are reacting. We're going to keep you updated on all of that this morning. Wall Street markets, of course, are closed. And the situation in Cairo, Egypt, it looks like there may be some reconciliation there. Again, we'll keep you covered on all that on this Thanksgiving morning. And we're asking you what you're thankful for.
Hey, this is Ray from New York. I just want to say I'm really happy and thankful for my four kids that are going to eat me out of house and home.
Oh, hey, come on over to my house. Talk about eating you out of house and home. Give us your thoughts all morning long at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This morning, look at your map. Some 15,000 runners are warming up ahead of the Manchester Road Race. It's a 4.75-mile circuit in New London, Connecticut, and leaves plenty of time for Thanksgiving dinner. One runner is wearing the same blue tunic she wore a half century ago when she defied a ban on female participation in long-distance running and set a precedent that changed the face of the sport. Dr. Julia Chase Brand is now 69 years old. We talked with her earlier this week about the significance of this race and how she first became involved. She's actually warming up there this morning, and that's why we talked with her earlier this week, how she first became involved in athletic equal rights.
50 years ago, I loved to run. Just as a kid, I always loved to run. And I was lucky enough to have Johnny Kelly, and who was the national marathon winner for 9 years straight in the Boston Marathon, two-time Olympian, living in the same town, and I used to see him run and see him run, and I had always wanted to run distance, and eventually had the opportunity. I actually literally ran into Johnny Kelly and George Terry out on the golf course, and they sort of incorporated me into their group, and pretty soon I was running races all over New England and going around with a road racing crowd, but I was forbidden by federal, you know, AAU rules to run more than 800 meters, which for a distance runner is kind of laughable, but I did that.
And why was that the case? Why would there be a distinction on distance running beyond 800 meters and then, of course, the marathon, 26 miles?
Women's athletics were still enormously conservative. I think there may have been a fear that women, A, couldn't run that far, that it was unbecoming, just like, I don't know, boxing or football were unbecoming, and women had to kind of know their place. That's not what they did. And it was quite strong. I had the head of the president of the women's AAU put her arm around me and say, Julia, you know so-and-so, they used to be very pretty before they tried to run longer distances. Don't
get
do it.
Out of here. That is outrageous. I mean, that gives me hives just imagining.
Yeah, and that was at the national championship, the head of the national women's AAU.
So 50 years ago, you ran this race against precisely that kind of discrimination.
Well, the first time, actually, I tried to run in 1960, I didn't think anything of it. I went along with the Kelly crew up to the race, and I was just going to run and get my day's workout for the turkey, and all of a sudden was banned. And here I was, the New England champion at all the shorter distances, and they wouldn't let me run, and they would let 7-year-old boys and, you know, 60-year-old men sign up with no training. And the runners actually were very outraged, too. And so we said, this has got to stop. And so for the next year, we tried to persuade the AAU they had to allow women to run distance. We got nowhere. And I'm partially Quaker in background. And I realized that what I had to do was basically an act of civil disobedience. I had to challenge their rule. And I said, but there's no reason I shouldn't be able to step on a public road and run the race. They wouldn't hear of it. And eventually they came up with a threat, which was that they would ban me for life from all athletics, and they would strip me of my New England medals and titles.
For heaven's sakes.
And I said, well, I'm going to run anyway. And for whatever reason, as you'd say now, it went viral. It went worldwide. Why won't the AAU let this, you know, pretty young girl run if she wants to? And when the AAU finally caved in, they came back to us and they said, okay, we've got a deal. And the deal was that they would begin to allow women longer races starting that spring, a couple of months later. But I, in turn, had to personally promise that I would never run like this again and embarrass them. So for me, as the other Roberta Gibbs and so on jumped into Boston, I had given my word that I wouldn't do this. So it was sort of an ironic, bittersweet. So I've been on the sidelines. I did run the Pikes Peak Marathon before all that happened.
So you're a pioneer and someone who made an extraordinary sacrifice for all women runners.
Well, I'd do it again. But I think watching the people, the women out there running today, and for me, the thing of watching, the day of watching Joan Benoit win the Olympic marathon was just, it was like, okay, good, good, this is it. That piece is over.
Well, you are the pioneer, Dr. Julia Chase Brand, a pioneering runner who will be running on Thanksgiving morning. What's the course?
It's about a 4.75 miles, and it's sort of, for me, it's coming full circle. It's been 50 years. Look what's happened in 50 years. And it's kind of, it's a thank you to the, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of women who've laced up their shoes and own the road. And it's a thank you to the male runners who were always supportive. And for me, it's sort of a come full circle, hail and farewell. I'm going to do this on the 50th anniversary and
well,
hang
good
up
for
my
you.
Competitive shoes.
Good. You're going to hang up your competitive shoes?
Well,
I doubt it.
I may jog locally, but my hips and my knees and my various other parts of the body are trying to persuade me that there are gentler things to do.
She may be in the pack on Thanksgiving morning, but she's way out in front as far as we're concerned. Dr. Julia Chase Brand, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And good luck.
Thanks.
And as everyone prepares for the holiday, what are you thankful for this morning?
This is Burrick the Bear calling from Southern California. And that is the thing I am most grateful for this year, is that after 9 years away in New York, got home for the holidays, and I'm home to stay.
Nice. And he woke up early this morning. Pacific Standard Time. Pacific Standard Time. Wherever you are in the country, call us with your Thanksgiving memory, 877-8-MINDTAKE.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.